So we can look at the seriousness of some of the verses that we maybe talked about this morning. Lest that day come upon you unaware. And I can spend my time being really concerned about that day coming on me unaware. Or I can say to the Lord, you probably have some tools for me to where that day will not come upon me unaware. That's what I'd like to look at this afternoon for a little bit. And I know this is a sleepy time, so I want to be down here with you. What I'd like to do is for you to be thinking about scriptures yourself that maybe you'd want to add. I'm interested in us looking at the value of light. Now, there's natural light and there's spiritual light. I appreciate the value of natural light. I'd like for us to think about this. Over in Genesis, the first chapter, this tells me about the power of God. Genesis 1 and, well, we look at the second verse. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. What kind of darkness would that have been? There was no light at all. And then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And I like to think of that as the sun was here now, providing the light. He made it. No, he just spoke it into existence. It was light because he said, let there be light. Because we have to go on down to the 14th verse when God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. Let them be for signs, seasons, days, years. And it goes on down that the 19th verse says, the evening and the morning was the fourth day. So I wonder about those days before that. He had spoken, let there be light. And I think of God that can bring the light can also shut the light off. That was one of the plagues of Egypt. We see that over in Exodus in the 10th chapter and in the 21st verse. When there was a need for it, the Lord said to Moses, stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even a darkness which can be felt. Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven. There was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt for 3 days. What kind of darkness would that be? He shut off light completely for the land of Egypt. But look at this next verse. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. That's temporal light. But God caused Israel to not even be affected by what was happening right over across the border somewhere else. It could be so dark for Egypt, and yet the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. What I'm interested in today is God is the master of the natural light. But he's also master of our spiritual light, and that's what is the most important. Remember the place where Joshua, it's in Joshua the 10th chapter, when Joshua needed, he had a need for the day to extend itself a little longer. And he was able to speak to the sun and say, sun, stand still. Can you imagine God being able to take what he had put into motion for many years, 24 hours that we have the cycle, and then to put it to a stop. And it says it was for about a whole day that he's able to hold this in motion. So I have a song for us. This verse of a song tells me that God's in control of the temporal light, but he's also in control of what I need in spiritual light to help me to get to heaven. Our Father's wondrous works we see in the earth and sea and sky. He rules o'er all majesty from his royal throne on high. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Reigning now above on his throne of love, what a mighty God we serve. So when we read in 2 Peter, the third chapter, that all this is going to come to an end, what about heaven? Is he going to need to have a son there? Over in Revelations 21 and 23, the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. You know, if God was able back then to just say, let there be light, and he didn't need a sun to do it, the glory of God is going to lighten heaven. The Lamb is going to be the light thereof. I believe that's a lot of this is talking about natural light. But there is a connection between God's power for natural light. And I'd like for us to look at a verse to start into, because what I'm really concerned with is the spiritual light. 2 Corinthians 4 and 6. Because this one compares the two. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. What did it say in that second verse? It was darkness was upon the face of the deep. He who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light. What kind of light do we need that he's given us now? To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's the light that I'm interested in us looking at for a few minutes this afternoon. And if you think of it and you have a verse, I'd like for you to share it. But what God was interested in doing, he shined out of darkness, natural light, but he's shining in our hearts, wants to give us light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. John 3:16 is where he started the spiritual light that he had for us. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. 17th verse, God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. Look at this 19th verse. This is the condemnation. Light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. We see that all around us today. Light is available, spiritual light for us to be able to navigate through this dark world and make heaven our home. It's available for us. But it said there's men that love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. But here's what I like. It comes back to us again. Everyone that doeth light, doeth evil, hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds be reproved. But look at this next verse. He that doeth truth comes to the light. You know, we don't have to run from light that God is wanting to shine on our pathway to show us places that we can make adjustments in our life so that that day will not come on us unaware. And he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest. You know what I'd like for my deeds to be made manifest on this side, with adjustments, with tweaks that I need to be able to make in it over here. The light that he wants to shine on my pathway is possible that it'll be able to do that. Okay, Matthew 5 and 14. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it gives light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men. So is it really my light, or is it his light? We're kind of like the moon, I believe, to God, to Christ. His light shines in us, and I'm just a reflection of that light that has come to me. Ye are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, and it brings glory to us, and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. That's the advantage of spiritual light. It's able to shine into me, and I let it shine out to others. I am very thankful for that.
For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light.
You know, so there's so many places, because all of us were sometimes darkness. At some point in our life, there was darkness. Then light shone on us. But now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. That's very valuable. Where is a place in the Bible that it told us about the Jesus coming and he was going to be the light? Where would we find that? There's a verse that talked about somebody else said, he was not that light. He was come to bear witness of that light. Who are we talking about? Okay, so this is in John. Remember, John is not that light. John was a great man. But he would say, I'm not worthy to loosen his shoes. I'm not worthy to do anything for him. But it says in John 1 and 6 through 9, well, the fifth verse, you can back up to the fourth verse. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. You know, we're no longer talking about daylight and dark physically. The light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. I looked at that. The darkness was not able to tell that there was light. The darkness was not able to shut the light out. It was able to continue to shine. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Same came for witness to bear witness of the light. He's bearing a witness of that light, that all men through him might believe. You know, he's quick to let us know he was not that light. He was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light. Jesus is the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. I am thankful for the spiritual light. Over in the 8th chapter, and in the 12th verse, then spake Jesus again to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. You know, the value, we talk about the value of sunlight today. I love it. But I am so valuable for the sunlight that can shine into my heart to reveal to me that I don't have to walk in darkness anymore. You know, Jesus has said it came to his own and his own received him not. His desire was to put light on them, that they would be able to profit from that spiritual light. And they rejected him. But to as many as did receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Anybody have another verse?
The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness?
Okay. We can look at those two verses and kind of even understand it physically. The light of the body is the eye. The entrance of that light. You know, for me to even be able to recognize that there is light is happening because my eye is able to process that information. The light of the body is the eye. If your eye be single, I was looking at a commentary before on this. If your eye is healthy, naturally speaking, if you've got healthy vision, your whole body will be full of light. We look outside and we're able to process about the light that we have. But if thine eye be evil, if you've got, you know, we hear cataracts, if we hear eye disease of some kind, if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness, not able to comprehend even that there's light. But this thing is more valuable to us today spiritually, because the day is coming when the great flood is coming that's going to take me out of here. Spiritually speaking, if we took this, if my eye is able to receive the light, process the information that Jesus brings to me, my whole body will be full of light. If I'm not able to comprehend it, you know, we read so many verses. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? We find a lot of verses that talk about light, the ability to have spiritual light, but darkness is always trying to crowd in on it. What about Psalms 119 and 105? How do we receive that light? We read right there at the beginning of Psalms 119, Thy word, O Lord, have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. In 105, Thy word, it's a lamp to my feet, and it's a light to my path. That's why it's real important for me to get a love for the Word of God. For me to be able to say, you know what? His Word is what's going to be a lamp for my feet to guide me through this darkened world around me, where there is so much darkness, spiritual darkness around me. Thy Word, I'm glad this scripture is still alive today. Thy Word is a lamp to my feet, and it's a light to my pathway. 2 Corinthians 4 and 6. The one that was able to bring light out of darkness in Genesis 1, he is able to shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge. And if we back on up just a little bit, in the third verse of that, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world, you know, we talk about if your eye is diseased, if light is not able to come in, look at what causes that disease. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of those which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Here's Satan working, desiring to stop that light being able to enter a person. He hath blinded the minds of those which believe not, lest the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. And we see that happening all around us. In 1 John, in the first chapter, and in the fifth verse, this then is the message which we have heard of him, and we declare it unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. You know, that's quite a statement right there. And it says then in the sixth verse, if we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But you know what? We're living in a critical time now. And it talks about woe unto them that put light for darkness and darkness for light. Now we're going to have a difficulty of even knowing. What does it say? If we say we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie. Well, what determines light and darkness? We can't let that be determined by the world around us. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put light for darkness and darkness for light. We have that happening all around us. But here's a verse for us, seventh verse. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we walk in the light, as it's revealed to us, as something is shown to me, if I will walk in that, it's very valuable for us. Now there's another, while we're over in John, 1 John, 2nd chapter, and in the 8th verse, let's take a look at this also. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. We're past this place of being in darkness. Now the true light is shining. And look at this. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even till now. Yes. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling for him. He that hateth his brother is in darkness, walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. And I say to some of these verses, Lord, help me. You know, I may never would say I hate a person. But you know what? The Lord is letting me know here how serious it is. If I say, you know what, I'm walking in the light, and yet I have something less than love for someone around me. And we say to his brother, but you know, there was a scripture that said, who is my brother? It's not just the man that lives next door to me. It's anyone that I come in contact with. Lord, help me to have the love for everyone that I should have. Ephesians 1 and 18. You know, it's good to have good eyesight. This one says, the eyes of your understanding. So we're not talking about just my eyes, what I see today when I look out the window. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. You know, we're going to need the Lord's help for that to happen. That ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance to the saints. I'm going to need my eyes enlightened, the eyes of my understanding being enlightened. You remember that happening before? In 2 Kings in the 6th chapter, where the king is coming, and to Elisha, he's needing to take him. They have surrounded the city. The next morning, the servant looks out and he sees them. We're surrounded. And he asked Elisha, what can we do here? And he said, they that be with us are more than they that be with him. And then he prayed a little prayer. Lord, would you open my servant's eyes? Did that mean that he just had an optical illusion? There really wasn't any trouble out there? No, the trouble was still there. But what he was asking is, and this is 2 Kings 6, 16 and 17. What he was asking is, Lord, I need you, the eyes of his understanding, going on back to find out, you know what, there's scriptures where the Lord says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. There's promises that we can pick up on today that can help the eyes of our understanding be enlightened. And what the prophet was praying then was, Lord, open his eyes that he would be able to see in the spiritual realm that we have the Lord on our side. And that's what happened with them then. Spiritual vision, we can move from darkness to light. And I'm very thankful for it. So we had the verse that said, we were called out of darkness. I believe we've had that one in 1 Peter 2. Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him. You know what? That's what I need to be doing today. As the world around me is getting darker, I need to be showing forth the praises of him who has called me out of darkness into his marvelous light. In Romans 13th chapter and in the 11th verse, you know, this morning we're talking about the day of the Lord coming. This verse says, and that knowing the time, now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Then back when I first got saved, my time of going out to meet the Lord is getting a whole lot closer. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Ye are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I'd like for us to sing a song in closing. Song number 114. And look at these verses here. Along a dark and gloomy path, I groped beneath the shades of death. No hope beyond my dying breath. Now that's darkness there. I don't have any hope if I were to breathe my last right now of making heaven my home. No hope beyond my dying breath till light. All these verses that we talked about, he hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Here it is. Till light from the Savior came. My darkness now is passed away. In Jesus all is perfect day. And peace and comfort ever stay, since Christ is my perfect light. O Jesus, to my heart so sweet, thy words a light unto my feet. How holy, happy, and complete I walk. You know, it's not enough for it to come to me, but I walk in the precious light. All glory to my Savior's name. To do thy will is my highest aim. Thy favors more than earthly fame. Just your smile, a smile from the Lord that I'm doing his will. Thy smile is my constant light. In the light of God, now my soul is singing. All is bright. I'm now in the light of God. So I look at these songs, these verses. The world around us is getting darker and darker. There's darkness all around, but yet there's a light. There's a verse over in Isaiah that said, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Let us together let the light of God shine on us. and he wants to do it. That was his purpose with John 3 and 16. The condemnation came from those that said, we would rather have darkness rather than light. I don't want that to be a testimony of my life, of God looking at it. I don't want to be saying I'm walking in the light and I have something against my brother that can cause me to be walking in darkness no matter what I say about it. I want to have his light shine in, because it says by doing that, my deeds are manifested. I tell you what, I would like for my deeds to be manifested between me and the Lord while I'm here than for it to be brought out on the judgment day. Because we just cannot hardly comprehend something that cannot be reversed. You know, today I can have a trouble. I can get myself in trouble, and I can work my way out of it. There's coming a day when I will breathe my last breath. And I really think Sister Maxine saw the seriousness of it, to where she was willing to give herself to God. God, my shortest existence is here. I was talking to somebody at work this past week, and I had not seen them for a long time, and they were saying, how's things going for you? You know, I hadn't seen them for a long time. And I said, well, my wife died almost a year ago. Oh, really, really? And what did she die of? And I told them, oh, they were not able to help her. I said, let me tell you something. I said, to the Christian, we understand that this period is the shortest time of my existence. I'm headed somewhere else. And to the Christian, I say to God, God, whatever you want to send into my life, I want you to send it. And she allowed it. I told him, I said, and I watched something happen with her. It built a relationship between her and God to where she was ready to step over when he called for it. That is the whole purpose of this light being shined on our pathway, so that there will be no darkness within us on that day, but that we would be able to step over and meet God in peace. I'd like for us to sing in closing that song. Maybe we can stand.